Our scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment from your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then the barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves. As a father, the son in whom he delights, happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding. For her income is better than silver and her venue better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches with honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her are fast are called happy. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down by dew. For this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I remember the first time that I got drunk on knowledge. annual beach trip. My family takes to Pawleys Island, South Carolina, and my Aunt Norma's a teacher, and so every time we were together, she would take all of the kids to Barnes & Noble, and she would let us pick out a book that we could read throughout the beach week. And when I was about 10 or 11, I picked out this book that I found called Mark Wilson's Complete Course in Magic. And I was completely enthralled at the knowledge that this book held. There are all sorts of things that I learned from this book. My family went out to the beach one day, and I stayed inside the condo, perfectly beautiful sunny day, stayed inside the condo all day by myself, just practicing magic in front of the mirror. And I remember one of the first tricks he teaches you is how to pull your finger off. I was practicing this in front of the mirror last night. Tough look when your wife comes in and you're just like looking at yourself like seeing how it's pretty good, right? I was like, it's like one of the first things you learn in this giant course of magic. One of the second things he teaches you, the sermon's going off the rails when you pull out a deck of cards, is how to shuffle a deck of cards while controlling the bottom card. So six of hearts here on the bottom. So you learn the shuffle that's really common with magicians, that no matter how you're shuffling or cutting the deck, you're still going to have the six of hearts on the bottom. So what this means is that, oh, here's the ace of spades, perfectly. What this means is that if you have someone pick a card and you say, okay, stop me, and then you're going to put the card in the deck, you know the card that's on the bottom, which means that wherever they put their card, when you put it on top, that their card is going to be right to the right, one card to the right of the ace of spades. So learning this, I was becoming more and more obsessed with all the knowledge. For this next one, I'm going to have some kids. If you're a kid, come up here with me. Come up here with me real quick. This is she's pointing at Aaron. Come here, just real quick, because this one's kind of hard to see. I want you all to come up here. First service, I had zero takers. And there were kids. It was terrible. This is great. You guys are great. Come on. Okay. Can you guys see this quarter here? You guys want to touch it? Make sure it's real? Okay. Definitely real. It's worth 25 cents. It's not nothing. Okay. So I'm gonna try this trick. So sleight of hand is this one. Okay. So I'm going to take this quarter right here. I'm going to get some magic dust, and I'm going to sprinkle it right here. Pretty good, right? Give me some. Boom. It's just a high five. I'm not asking for a quarter. Can we have a round of applause for our volunteers? You guys did great. Go back to your seats. You rocked it. Absolutely incredible. Do it. I love it. Now's the chance. Do it. One of the kids at the first service just goes, he put it in his pocket. He just yelled it out. I was like, awesome. So the great paradox of knowledge, though, is the more magic I learned, the cooler I thought I was becoming. And so my family comes in from the beach. I've been practicing these tricks, what you just saw. Not great. In front of the mirror, they come in. I give them the whole show at 11 years old, walk them through all the different things. They pretend to be impressed. They're very excited. They acted very well. And I'm laying in bed that night, and I have this thought for the first time in my life, that knowledge that I learned, what I learned, the practice that I did, what I read, he even includes in there how to saw a woman in half. It's at the very end of the book. And we're going to do that trick now. No, but it was like I was blown away that this knowledge was just out there, available, sitting on a shelf to anyone who could do it. And what I learned was like, okay, there's this knowledge is available to everyone. Of course, this is kind of pre-dawn of the internet. But now, in 2026, it is more available than it has ever been. Right? Instagram, YouTube, Claude, ChatGPT, you can fire in any one of these magic tricks. You can see how to bite a quarter in half and spit it back together. I really tried to get this trick here in time. Couldn't. Shipping. I know. It's a whole thing. I'll do it next week in the lobby. I'll just be doing some entertainment in the lobby. One of my favorite tricks. But anyone could figure out, had access to this knowledge, and it is more accessible to us now than ever, right? But are we any wiser? With all this information, all this knowledge, does it make us any smarter, any wiser? St. Augustine, 4th century theologian, he drew this distinction between knowledge and wisdom that I really liked. And he wrote that true wisdom is such that no evil use could come from it. True wisdom is such that no evil use could ever be made of it. And then he talks about knowledge, which he refers to as abstract knowledge. But for this knowledge, he says, knowledge is not inherently evil, but it's problematic in that it has no intrinsic relationship with goodness, whereas wisdom does. And he writes that knowledge can be misdirected. It can be bent to serve our own needs, our own selfishness. It can be warped. It can be perverted, is what he writes. Any fans of Christopher Nolan's Batman in here? If you're wondering why I was single for so long, magic and an obsession with the Batman canon will do it. But the third film is one of my favorites, Dark Knight Rises. Remember, he has this nuclear reactor, right? And he's hiding this from the world, as he does his entire artillery as Batman. And the whole time, people are investors, even people trying to save his company, which is his, there's been some fraudulent activity, say, Do you have this nuclear reactor? That is the rumor, and he will never confirm that he has this, because for him, the nuclear reactor is clean, sustainable energy for the city of Gotham, right? But for in the wrong hands, this is a bomb. This is an atom bomb. And so he mothballs this project. He hides it, and at an instant's notice, he can have this area that it's in flooded, and it will become void, right? And he has this great moment where someone is pressing him on exposing the knowledge of this nuclear reactor. And he says, one man's tool is another man's weapon. The wisdom of Batman, right? They can't know about this because it's too powerful. It could be bent. The knowledge of this could be bent and perverted to hurt people. It has no intrinsic relationship with goodness. Right? And he's right. Knowledge is powerful. This is what we're indoctrinated with, right? That we as human beings are more powerful the more knowledgeable we are, right? Knowledge is advancement for us, especially professional advancement. The more you know, the more marketable you are, right? The more skilled you are. This is what's different between the scribes the ancient biblical scribes who wrote the wisdom books. There is no professional advancement with wisdom. There is only a move towards goodness. So it's hard for us to kind of understand because we want to use it. We want to attain it so that we can put it on a resume and market ourselves. In our eyes, knowledge is what makes us great. It's what makes us influential. It's what makes us unstoppable. It's even what makes us epic at times. One of the greatest epics ever told. I'm still on Christopher Nolan, The Odyssey, right? Comes out this next weekend. I could not be more excited for this. The first film ever to be filmed in IMAX 70-millimeter film, right? It's going to be epic. Odysseus, the story of Odysseus, oral tradition, passed around in the 10th century, attributed to Homer. It's written down in the 8th century BC. It is the one of the oldest surviving pieces of literature that we have. And in this story, this epic poem, Odysseus, who is incredibly smart, incredibly knowledgeable, he's at war for 10 years. He spends 10 years trying to get home. And we see how this knowledge kind of builds his pride. And in one of the great moments of the Nolan trailer, which I've watched 400 times, is nothing, Matt Damon says this, nothing could stand between me and home, not even the gods. And you're like, oh, I can't wait to see this movie, right? He's above divine intervention, right? And there's another part of the trailer where they say, the gods do not will this. And he says, then I defy the gods, right? And you're like, yes, man versus God, this is awesome. We can become so knowledgeable, so smart in the eyes of the world, so capable that we think we are above divine intervention. Right? But knowledge is different than wisdom. So in this wisdom series, we're looking at three of the five books of wisdom. The five books of wisdom: Job, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Song of Songs, and Proverbs. And we're starting and ending with Proverbs. This is the most down-to-earth book of the Bible. It is incredibly ordinary, practical advice. And because of that, it barely made it into the canon of Scripture. They like really had to discern, like, is this the Word of God? It's almost too simple, too practical, right? How to live faithfully and how to live wisely in the midst of the everyday when miracles aren't happening. The medieval monks talked about Scripture as chewing on it. You're supposed to chew on it. Take it bit by bit, morsel by morsel, and chew on it and roll it around your mouth and try and consume the flavor slowly. And the Proverbs are perfect for that. Let's chew on this. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. Or as it's, I memorized it as a kid in the NIV, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's maybe how you remember it. I love what the Message says. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. And I love this line, don't assume that you know it all. Do not rely on your own insight. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't assume that you know it all. When you lean on your own understanding long enough, it warps the way that we see things, even the way that we see ourselves. We become unaware of limitation, unaware of human limitation, so unaware that you think that magic is cool. I love magic. I think magic is very cool, right? But there's something about being in front of a mirror practicing these tricks as an 11-year-old thinking it's a better use of your time than to be on the beach with your family, to be alone in the condo. Right? And all of a sudden, you think it's so cool. Your knowledge of it is so warped that when your younger brother has his, I don't remember what birthday party, you decide, I'm doing magic at this party. This really happened to me. This is a choice I made. and I wore a top hat and a suit, and it was like 95 degrees. And the pictures of me, which my brother continually sends me, just sweating, just sweat everywhere. Just a 12-year-old having a midlife crisis with a deck of cards in his hand. It's terrible to look at, but this is what knowledge does. It warps the way that you see things. Right? And we have to lean away from that, lean away from our own knowledge, our own insight, our own understanding. Back to Augustine. True wisdom is such that no evil use could ever be made of it. True wisdom has an inherent relationship with goodness. And we know as Christians that God is good, right? All the time, God is good, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from your Father in heaven above, James 1. We know that God is good. So as such, wisdom has something to do with God. If wisdom has an inherent relationship with goodness. Ellen Davis, one of my favorite writers about the Old Testament, professor at Duke, she writes, she defines wisdom as the sweet fruit of intimacy with God. Wisdom is the sweet fruit of intimacy with God. And that intimacy begins, according to the Proverbs, with trust. Trusting. And God is essential to our faith. It is the foundation of wisdom, right? And that divine foundation of wisdom is something that we can count on. It's something that we can lean on. In the Hebrew, two root words related to it, which means secure, to be secure, to trust in its security. We lean not on our own understanding. We lean towards trusting God, which means to be wise is often to not know, to not have the knowledge. To be wise is to lean away from our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own insight, to lean towards wisdom, to lean towards the goodness of God, which means that wisdom and ignorance are two sides of the same coin. There is an inherent modesty to wisdom. You talk with somebody who's wise, they know often what they do not know, right? They will tell you, I don't know the answer to that. Someone who's not wise is going to, like me, just make up the thing and say, yeah, that was in the, 16th, yeah, that was the battle, yeah, 16th, yeah, and then it's like wrong, right? And you're like, you're afraid of not knowing, right? Ellen Davis, continuing on, she writes, the wise enter into contemplative relationship with the world. They watch before they act upon the world. Often, they watch for a long time. They are looking to see what God has done. And they can appear to be slow, slow moving, but they watch and wait and are silent, and they wait to see what God has done, she writes. And when you wait to see what God has done, when you wait to see what God is doing, you look less on what you are doing. You lean away from knowledge and into wisdom. You care more about the currency of the kingdom than the wealth of the world. That's what the Proverbs, the scribes are writing here. Listen to this. I'm in verse 13. This is back in the message. You're blessed when you meet Lady Wisdom, when you make friends with Madam Insight. She's worth far more than money in the bank. Her friendship is better than a big salary. Her value exceeds all the trappings of wealth. Nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. With one hand, she gives you long life, and with the other hand, she offers recognition. Her manner is beautiful, her life wonderfully complete. She is the very tree of life to those who embrace her. Hold her tight and be blessed. With Lady Wisdom, God formed the earth, and he raised heaven. They knew when to signal rivers and springs to the surface and dew to descend to the night skies. When we lean towards wisdom, the same wisdom that God created heaven and earth with, there is value. NRSV says, her worth is more than all of the rubies. There is value. There is income. There is long life. There's honor. And there's beauty. That's where the true magic is. Not on our own understanding, our own knowledge, but on trusting in the firm foundation of God. Trusting that God is who he says he is, which is good. So as we move through this series, I want to invite us to chew on these scriptures of wisdom. It can be really easy to just read through them and say, yep, I got the knowledge, I got what I need, but to chew, to slowly chew, to wait and watch, to enter into a contemplative relationship with God's word and with the world, and to watch to see what God has done and is doing and see where the pattern might be, that's a doorway to wisdom. To practice these scriptures, to lean on these scriptures, to rehearse these scriptures, to savor, to chew as if they were magic tricks in a mirror over and over again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let me say this word. Close your eyes for me. Let's chew on this just for a minute. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen.